Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We're going to hear a testimony actually from Pastor Tom and Jordy. They're going to send in a video. So if you're newer here and you don't know who they are elders here. They're incredible with pastoral ministry, marriage ministry, and they will be back at the end of March, but they're going to send a video of a testimony. My mom just did a harp concert, but really it was like a harp ministry night. She was going and praying for someone who had cancer, and they don't even have a car, so I don't even know how they met these people. But if you don't have a car or you don't think you get out much, just say yes to God and see who he puts in your life. My mom probably met them at the grocery store. I have no idea. So you never know who God's going to put in your life when, and just say yes to him. So we also have the best testimony that could ever happen in our church this morning is Isaac. Is that Isaac? Yes. All right. So, and is it at your grandson? Okay, I just didn't want to misquote anything. So their grandson, who's come here for a while, he just got saved this morning. So can we thank God for that? Amen. I kept hearing, today's the day of salvation, today's the day of salvation. That must have been why. So, hallelujah. We love it when people get saved. It's kind of why we're here, isn't it? So, thank you, Jesus. Eternity was just changed forever for someone's life. So, we're going to celebrate him after. We'll get him a Bible and everything. So, all right, we are going to dive right in here. We do have this time in the back. It's so interesting. In times of crisis in our world, we don't want to be insensitive and like we're throwing some kind of party while other people are suffering or that kind of thing. But what I do believe is that in times of trouble, the church is called to move forward like never before. And if you look at it, at the church throughout history, that's true. So, you know, even if you're grabbing a really cool snack, you can play a game, or if instead you wanted to pray with somebody, go for that. Really, we just wanted to create an atmosphere where we could connect and build relationship with each other after service. So I just want to clarify that in the back. I have friends in Hungary that are starting to see refugees come into their country. We're going to be praying. I have another friend who was missionary in Ukraine for, I think, like 30 years. And she's just been praying for people there. So please keep Europe in your prayers, praying for salvation for all the countries involved. Amen. One of my favorite testimonies was a friend of mine. They were in a little prayer room praying. It was like 5 a.m. or something. And God put it on their heart to pray. I think it was for Iraq or Afghanistan. This was several years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And they were praying and praying and praying, and this burden of prayer hit them. And they were praying and praying and praying and praying. And then at a certain point, the burden lifted, and they stopped praying. And no one called them to pray for that country, or no one called them, you know, with a prayer request. And then I think it was like 5 years later or something. It was a long time after my friend met this other person, and they were like, yeah, like my testimony, it's crazy. On such and such date, at such and such time, I was in this country, and I believe they were actually in the army or something, and the enemy had come, and at just the time that my friend had prayed for that area without knowing, God had moved in some miraculous way, and the whole situation changed, and this guy's life was saved. And it was because one obedience. One person said yes to praying without even knowing who they were praying for. And I think sometimes testimonies are extra great when we know the whole story, but because you pray, someone else that you might not meet till eternity has a testimony. Isn't that cool? So like when we pray for our region, when we pray for addiction to be broken off of lives, we don't even know the lives that are being touched by Jesus, and we won't know until we meet Jesus. Isn't that incredible? So I don't know, I've just got such a fire for praying. I want to encourage you in your personal walk with God even this week. If God puts it on your heart to pray for someone or pray for a nation or pray for a situation, just be okay to pray without not even knowing why you're praying or what exactly you're praying for. And you might never find out, or maybe you will find out like my friend did. So I just want to encourage you. That is not my message at all, but I think it is the message of God right now. So we're going to get into Nehemiah and Isaiah a little bit today. If you were here last Sunday, you will have noticed that we launched a new discipleship resource for you. I'm incredibly out of breath because I'm so excited of what God's doing. So give me 1 second to just breathe. All right, I'm going to do more aerobics this week so that I'm not out of breath when I preach next time. This is embarrassing. All right, I was listening to a new worship song that we want to introduce, and like the bridge was like, my heart is racing, like you're moving in this place. I don't think I need to pray that ever again. That was a declaration I did not need to declare over my heart this morning. Anyway, last Sunday, we gave out a guide. It's called the Thrive Guide. We've got a couple copies in the back. We'll print some more. The Thrive Guide outlines, actually, Catherine, would you mind grabbing me a Thrive Guide in the back? They're right there on the table. If you were wondering, what in the world is it like, are we opening a bookstore or a library or something? No, we're not. Not right now, at least. We used to have a library. Thank you. Anybody remember the library? That was a cool place. If you were a kid, like you went in there and did stuff. Anyway, okay. So the Thrive Guide, it has one section called Discover Jesus and another section called Thrive in Jesus. And as I stated last week, this is not some like religious structure, step-by-step guide to thriving in Jesus. That is not what this is. What this is a collection of actions and books that are really Jesus-centered, biblical tools that you can use to grow in your walk with God. So when Caleb said that our heart is for you to thrive in every area, that word thrive means to grow and mature. So that means that our vision as a church is for everyone here to be growing and maturing in every area of your life. Maybe not all at the same time, but in baby steps as God is leading you. So I encourage you to pick one up in the back. If we run out, which we probably will today, I'll reprint a couple more. And on this section, it's got a whole thing on hearing God's voice and prayer. It's got a few books on that. Identity in Christ and wholeness. How many know if you don't know your identity in Christ, you're going to have a real hard time knowing what to do? Just ask Pastor Rod. That is his life message. And in Identity in Christ, Killing Kryptonite, that is a book that is about getting set free from addiction that helped Brian get free from addiction to pornography. So we've got some really practical books here. Evangelism, we've got a book in there that's actually written by Pastor Jordy. So everyone say, oh, wow. There we go. We got our own author listed in our thing. You can get her book on Amazon. So this is a little plug for my mother. It's pretty cool. We've got some men and women specific books. Kingdom Man is a great book. Leap into Love is a book on seeing God in you and like affirming yourself in God as a woman. And then, of course, we've got some relationships and community, some boundaries. How many know boundaries are extremely important if you are actually growing and maturing? And then Love After Marriage is a great resource for marriage as well. So if you see a subject here that you're dealing with that you don't see a book or you don't see an action that you're like, that's what I need, talk to us as a pastoral team. We didn't obviously fill everything in there. We're looking to keep that a living document. So that means like in about 6 months, we'll probably swap it out with some other books or some other things that we see God doing in our midst. All right. So we're gonna open up our Bibles to Isaiah 61 this morning. So if you want to do that. While I drink some more water. Yesterday, I did something very bad. I was visiting some friends I haven't seen since our wedding. And how many know that when you're like sipping something, it's a little less awkward to talk to somebody? Anyone, you know, it's kind of like a mechanism for not being socially awkward. Well, they kept offering me coffee. And it was like espresso coffee, because they have like a really good coffee machine. Like, we don't have that. So I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to enjoy the coffee they keep giving me, right? So I started out with a cup of green tea, and then I had 2 cups of extremely intense black caffeinated tea. So we get in the car to go home, and suddenly, like, the world is just spinning. It was a disaster. So I actually think my heart is probably still recovering from that. So if you learn one thing today, Just don't drink too much caffeine. It's okay to be socially awkward. It's better, all right? All right, Isaiah 61. I was going to try and make that spiritual, but Holy Spirit did not show me how to do that, so we're just going to keep talking here. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4 are going to kind of build the foundation for our message this morning. It's a little long, but it's really good. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me. Say anointed me, because he's just talking about you and me, not just Jesus here, as a prophecy. To bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. That means there's comfort, there's freedom, and there's release in Jesus. Amen? He sent me to tell those who mourn that a time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild, say rebuild, the ancient ruins. They will repair, say repair, the cities destroyed long ago, and they will revive, say revive, them though they have been deserted for many generations. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and you know, our mission statement is out on the wall there, inviting people to forget dead religion, experience God, and thrive in Jesus. And you know, We like to have mission statements that we can kind of repeat that make sense to us, not so that we can be cool and hip, but so that we know God's heart and what we're doing as a church, right? But if we had a vision statement, if you stripped all the fancy words away and all the culturally relevant words away, Isaiah 61 would be at the heartbeat of our church. Just say repair, rebuild, and revive. So I looked up a couple definitions like I like to do. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. I looked up ruins, and it means drought or waste or ruined homes. And then I looked up the word old or ancient, and it meant permanent or forever. So God's saying here, you will actually rebuild the ruined, permanently ruined homes. Anyone ever felt like your home was permanently ruined? Anybody have that? If you don't have that, that's awesome. But I think for a lot of us, we're just not raising our hands because we're like, we don't want to be known by that, right? If you knew some of my testimony, you would know that there's definitely been a period or a part of my home, quote unquote, that feels like it's been permanently ruined by the enemy. And I'm like, not today, right? Not today. Jesus is still moving. But I love this. They will rebuild the permanently ruined home. So they will redeem what the world has diagnosed as permanently ruined. If that's a mission statement for you and me, that's the heartbeat of God. And Jesus in Luke says that this scripture has been fulfilled in your midst. If Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 61, that means it is a call for you and I to, through Christ, continue to fulfill that in our own lives, in our daily lives. Amen? So we're going to be looking at that. But in this Thrive Guide, I want to bring it home to this. Because how many know if you hand something out and you never talk about it again, it's like, yay, we probably should have just not wasted the paper, right? But in this middle section, it says pour in and it says pour out. So everyone say pour in and pour out. Try it one more time. Pour in and pour out. We had a horrible pouring out experience this week with the water fountain area out there. I was in the office. I was working away for Sunday, and these two kids are out in the foyer, and I hear this water. Anyone ever heard water as a parent? It is not a sound you want to hear. I just hear water flowing. And I got the door slightly shut, and I'm thinking, you know what? They're big guys. Like, they can handle this. I'm just going to hide on my computer. I'm going to pretend I'm not here. I'm not going to help them. And then they're like, what do we do? I don't know. Like, but it just keeps coming. I don't know. What do we do? I don't know. And I keep hearing the water, and I'm like, I can't hide. If I hide, something really bad's going to happen. I come out, and the button that you press to pour the water out, right? Everyone say pour out, is stuck pouring out. Everyone ever feel like you're just stuck pouring out? in your life. And God's like, you can't just get stuck pouring out because you're going to flood. You're going to flood the area. You're going to flood your relationships. You're going to flood your situations. And I need to pour in so that then you can pour out, right? Anybody following me? I know I've felt that way. So we're going to talk about Isaiah 61, about what it means to be a rebuilder, a restorer, and a reviver in our area. But we're going to talk about it in the context of, everyone say, pour in and pour out, right? So, okay, so we're going to connect. I'm doing like a little bit of a Bible study this morning, which of course we always do, but I'm really connecting a couple different stories here. So we're going to go to Nehemiah now, chapter 4. If you don't know the story of Nehemiah, he is one of my very favorite people in the Bible. If you didn't know, the Bible is all real stories, right? So when you look at these lives, you're looking at real people with real challenges they faced and a real God that moved incredibly powerful ways that he's still moving today, right? So I encourage you, we're just going to look at one verse, which I don't normally do, but I want you to look up the book of Nehemiah. It's not that long. Read it this week and see what God is speaking to you, because you could spend an entire year or a lifetime preaching on the book of Nehemiah. But we're just going to pull out Nehemiah 4:17. Those who built on the wall, well, let me give a little background. If you don't know who Nehemiah is at all, it won't make sense. So Nehemiah is someone who heard, this is a very, very, very Cliff Note version, all right? So go read it for yourself. Nehemiah heard that the walls of Jerusalem were ruined. Everyone say ruined, right? He heard that there was a place that was permanently ruined according to the world. And the problem with walls in Jerusalem is it meant the enemy could attack at any point. So Jerusalem was actually not safe for people to live there. And Nehemiah said, that's not okay with me. We need to go fix this. We need to go be a, say, rebuilder, restorer, and a reviver. Have you ever looked at your life or looked at an area in your life or looked at a friend's life and said, I'm not okay that your walls are broken down or that you've got a ruined area in your life. I'm not okay that the enemy has access there because Jesus can save you. You can help someone rebuild, restore, and revive their life. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, it's a good action to take in helping to grow and mature. Now, I'm not saying work on someone else's problems more than they are, right? But God calls us to come alongside people, to intercede for them, to help them, to give them resources, to be a friend, and to show them the love of Jesus. Amen? So, in Nehemiah 4:17, he's got the people rebuilding of the wall. All right, but the enemy, they like to taunt them. They were trying to discourage them. If you're here for a while, you've heard me already preach a message on Nehemiah. So Nehemiah 4:17, those who built on the wall and those who bore burdens with those who loaded, everyone, say everyone, that means every one of us, right? Everyone with one of his hands was wrought in the work. I should have had a different translation there. But anyway, one of his hands was busy with work, all right? And another hand held a weapon. I should have had a hammer and a sword or a dagger. I've got a dagger. Don't ask me why. Our youth group used to give them out. But we won't talk about that. We've got new youth leaders that those youth leaders aren't sitting up here. I don't know. Like, no, we're not going to. Anyway. It was awesome. We actually got daggers as part of our graduation gift in youth group. A long, long, long time ago, and nobody was harmed with the dagger, all right? We're just going to, if you have questions, we can pray together after. It was a very symbolic thing. To be fair, it was one of the coolest things that reminds you of your royal identity, so it was done very safely and prayerfully and wisely. But anyway, so with one hand, they're working, all right? You got a hammer in one hand, and you got a sword or a dagger or a weapon in the other hand. So everyone say, weapon. And then maybe tool, let's just say. Not everyone has a tool, but I'm assuming if they were busy in work, they probably all had tools. So we're going to break this down. I'm going to talk about weapons, and I'm going to talk about work. So first I want to talk about the weapons. So that word weapon, this is really interesting. The word weapon actually means a missile of attack, but it also means a shoot of growth. So everyone say a shoot of growth. I know I'm making you talk a lot. I'm sorry, but we're just tracking here today together. A shoot of growth, and the root of that means to send. So on one hand, they had a shoot of growth. They had something growing, so to speak. It was a weapon, but I'm talking symbolically here, because if you look at at root words, you can just see it's a much more rich way of looking at scripture. In one hand, they had something they could send out, and in another hand, they had something that they could build with. And what we let grow in our lives, what we let become a shoot of growth in our lives, becomes what we fight with. Does that make sense? Are you guys following me? So if you aren't intentionally inviting God to pour in, don't be surprised by the battles that you might face that you won't feel prepared for, because your weapons, what you let grow in your lives, might be weapons of destruction and not weapons from God. Are you guys following? This is something that God has been really speaking to me about. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. You know what that means? There are weapons of the world, and we can fight with weapons of the world, or we can fight with God's weapons. On the contrary, God's weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. Has anyone ever had a stronghold? You're like, what is a stronghold? A stronghold, I don't have the definition here, but a stronghold, one way of looking at it is if you're thinking about something and thinking about something, or you are dwelling on bitterness, it actually becomes almost like an anchor, a negative anchor that is anchoring your doubt. It's like got a strong hold on you, and God wants to set you free from that. So God's weapons do that. If we're going to get really real here, in the new year, who's had like a really interesting new year? Anyone had like an interesting, I like to use the word interesting because I don't like to be like, it's been an awful new year, but you know, February 1st, I turned to Brian and I was like, how about we celebrate New Year's again? Like, I'm okay if January kind of didn't happen really. I mean, God can redeem it all, but it was a little rough. A couple of us were sick. We had a couple, pipes burst. It was a little bit of a rough month. And I don't wish it didn't happen, but I'm so glad God redeems, right? But in all of that, Brian and I were talking about our relationship. And listen, in this example I'm going to give, if you're not married, just think about how you can apply this in any kind of relationship, because this is not just for a romantic relationship by any stretch. But Brian and I were noticing that in our situation when we were doing life together, what was pouring out towards each other was not necessarily what we wanted pouring out towards each other. Anyone ever been there with a friend in a married couple, maybe it's a co-worker situation, you know, you've got a situation happen and something just pours out, kind of like the button just is like stuck on, right? And so Brian and I, we like to be real in our marriage. We like to thrive, which does not mean we're perfect. It means we're growing and we are maturing, right? And so, full disclosure, it was Valentine's Day. And yes, this did not happen while we were watching your children, just to clarify here. So if you took us up on the offer to watch your kids on Valentine's Day, it was really fun. It reminded me two things. Number one, children are absolutely amazing. And number two, we don't have any yet, and that's probably okay, right? Because at the end of the night, we just kind of gave them back. But it was a fantastic night. We did karaoke. They're honestly, the kids here are just incredible. It's such a joy to be with them. But I did end up hiding in the kitchen doing dishes while Brian finished a game of charades, because he loves kids, as do I. But the other thing we learned on Valentine's was Brian and I are standing in our house, and who's ever had like a slightly traumatizing experience with Valentine's Day? It doesn't have to be romantic, but it's just about like love in general. No? Okay, well, me, you know, a lot of romantic comedies out there on the subject. So Brian and I, it's supposed to be the day that you're like celebrating each other. But for some personalities, if you have great expectations, really it's a day where you can have the greatest amount of disappointment, right? Anybody been there? And it's not your friend's fault that's taking you out, or your spouse's, or whatever season of life you're in. It's just because you set expectations that were not communicated, right? Which is a whole nother sermon. But Brian and I are staring at each other, and finally, I'm like, well, are you experiencing me loving you? Like, how are you experiencing me loving you? And he's thinking, well, how are you experiencing me loving you? And I'm like, oh no, like, are we even loving each other? How is this, like, oh no, like, we're having this like meltdown as a married couple, right? If you're not married, maybe you've had that with a friend where you're like, do you even like me anymore as a friend? Like, what's even happening? Why are we still friends? What's going on here, right? And so Brian and I are having this, like, you know, crisis of our faith or in our marriage, right? Not to a breaking point, to clarify, we're committed, but we're just staring at each other. And, you know, we could have ended there and it probably would have been a bad night, right? But we pressed through. So props to anyone who presses through the moments that you don't want to press through. And it turned into, well, how can I love you better? Right? Have you ever asked that of someone in your life? Could be a parent, a child, a friend, a spouse. If it's a boss or a coworker, maybe the word isn't love, but maybe, you know, how can I serve you better or honor you better? How can I love you better? And Brian and I completely changed our habits, our routines since that night. I'd like to tell you it's been absolutely perfect. It has absolutely not been, but it's been absolutely better, and we've been absolutely thriving because we've been absolutely growing and maturing in our relationship. And what it took was us realizing we weren't intentionally pouring into each other the way we needed to so that we could pour out of each other the way we needed to. Does that make sense? If we were pouring in, you know, it's a rule, like don't bring up a mistake that's more than 24 hours old, right? Because you're just going to cycle right back. Or don't bring up a problem that's a week old or a lifetime old, right? And if you're dwelling on that, you're actually pouring into each other mistakes, and you're pouring into each other past negative cycles. I'm not saying not to bring things up and face them, but Brian and I were pouring into each other things that had no business being poured into each other. And so then when it was time to pour out, it was a whole mess. So are you guys tracking me? And I think we do this in the church as well. Matthew 7 says, a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. That sounds like a kid's storybook, right? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. This is not complicated. Like, you don't have to go to Cornell Agriculture to find out that a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. Yet somehow, even in my own life and even in my marriage over the last couple months, it's like, if I'm producing bad fruit, if I'm pouring something out on you that is hurting you, then I've got something inside of me that I need to deal with, right? Are you guys following? And so, you know, if I bring this home, back to the pouring in, you know, I used our marriage as an example because how many know you just can't really hide in relationships. Whatever kind of relationship you've got going in your life, whatever life season, relationship, there's a reason Jesus died to have a relationship with you and me, not a religion, but a relationship. There's a reason why church is important because you can't hide very well in relationships. It gets messy, it gets real, but as long as we keep a culture of honor, of love, and we are pouring in and pouring out from God, then we can build a healthier church, a thriving church, a growing and maturing church. Amen? So I wanted to encourage you, check out the pouring in section here. There's just some basics like investing in your relationship with God through prayer and Bible reading. There's, you know, being part of one of the groups or one of the courses here, not so that you can attend a class and get a degree, but so that you can build relationship with people, so that you can grow and you can thrive and you can get tools, you can get weapons to use while you are a rebuilder, restorer, and a reviver, so that you can hand in your tools of destruction and get equipped with the tools of God, the weapons of God, excuse me, to fight the enemy and to break strongholds off of your own life and off of the lives around you. Amen? Are you guys following? Yes. All right. I got one person in the front. Thank God he's a pastor. So number two, I'm probably going to go just a couple minutes over if that's all right. Are you guys still with me? Think about this. It's freezing out there. It's warm in here. And there's food after. Don't go anywhere, okay? All right, here we go. So I'm just going to read this. I said, we are in a war as we rebuild our homes and our region. If we are not carrying God's weapons, we will be carrying destructive weapons from the world that will hurt each other and ourselves. This is why we cannot grow in Jesus without intentionally inviting Jesus to pour into us, so that what grows out is weapons of his of the kingdom, right? Weapons of love, weapons of intercession. There are a lot of different ways to look at weapons from God's standpoint. We can go into that another time in more detail. But what matters is if you're getting God pouring in, you'll just notice what kind of weapons you get, right? All right, number two. Everyone say number two. Real quick here. Keep going with me. Nehemiah 4:17. Those who build on the wall and those who bore burdens with those who loaded, every one of his hands was wrought in the work and with the other hand held a weapon. Wrought in the work. Does anyone have another definite translation? What's wrought in someone else's Bible? What? Working. Yeah, but Caleb, you had another translation there. 4:17?
Yeah.
Did yours say wrought too?
No, it doesn't say wrought. It says work.
Worked rot. I don't know. It sounds like it sounds like a German food, doesn't it? Rot. I had my rotwurst. But anyway, okay. Just keep going with me here. I don't know. It's a weird word. So if all we do, if all we do is let God pour into us, but we don't pour out, that's where we get into the danger of becoming a Pharisee, right? So everyone say Pharisee. Right? They were constantly getting intellectual information and like teaching, which is incredibly important and biblical, but they weren't pouring out. So they were getting a big head, right? No one wants a big head. The church doesn't need more big heads. They need more big hearts, right? But how many know if you've got a heart that's not connected to your head, you get a Hallmark movie? And how many know Hallmark movies are not real life stories? Praise Jesus, right? So the world doesn't need more Hallmark. The world needs a heart connected to the head, right? And that's what the church is supposed to be because Jesus is the head. Amen? Full circle there. All right. Thank God. Ephesians 4:11 through 13. We're going to talk about work, though, for just a second here. Now, these are the gifts of Christ gave to the church. The apostles, say the apostles. The prophets, say the prophets. The evangelists and the pastors and teachers, right? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, say his work, and build up the church, say build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature, everyone say mature, so you could say thriving in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So our responsibility as a church, so my responsibility, any pastor here, and you know, we've got a bunch of people named pastor, but it doesn't mean we're all, it's like some of our pastors serve in a teaching capacity or an evangelistic capacity or in a prophetic capacity. But we as a church are called to do God's work and to build up the church. And I love the doing God's work because work can mean occupation. It can mean craftsmanship. It can mean business. And have you ever thought that, like, you know, being a second grade Christian is being anybody other than a pastor? Have you ever thought that? Maybe you haven't. But you know, maybe just if you grew up in church, that's an easy mindset to get into. Or if you just started attending, you're like, oh, you've got like the leadership, and then you've got kind of like the second class citizens where you're just, you know, trying to make it through. That is like the exact opposite of what Jesus died to do in his church. That is the exact opposite of what we believe in this church. We are an apostolic church. The word apostle means sent one. That means that every single one of us, I hope, has some form of occupation. Whether you're working somewhere, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, it doesn't matter. You've got a way you are spending your time. You've got a place of influence. You have a ministry. Just say, I have a ministry. Right? Say it again. I have a ministry. Doesn't mean you got a 501c3 nonprofit, right? But you have a ministry wherever you go and wherever your influence is. Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. There was a moment here where I was like mopping the floor. This was several months ago, and I was kind of complaining about mopping the floor. Has anyone ever complained about mopping the floor? I was like mopping the floor and getting a backache, and I was like doing this, and God was like, well, if you were in my house and you were mopping my floor, would you be complaining? And I was like, no. And he's like, you are. And I'm like, that's true. Dang it. Like, he called me. It was like, have you ever had God call you? Man, When he calls you, his word is a sword that cuts between, right? It just went right down in. Work, whatever you're doing, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. We are called to do God's work, but we are also called to build the church, right? But before we build the church, we've got our own work. We've got our ministry that we're called to do. Over the years at Borg Warner, there was a group of people that would pray together. I don't know if it was like on lunch break or what, but they would pray together. And Jesus sent the disciples out two by two for a very good reason. So, you know, in our area, some people who work in the same place even would pray together at their place of work, at their occupation. And so I encourage you, if you've got a Christian that's working where you are, or if you don't, maybe start being a witness more, see what God does there. And even you can do a prayer meeting or a prayer just connect time, or call someone up on your lunch break and get in community as you're working, as you're doing your ministry, right? But lastly, building the church. And I think I'm gonna save maybe, are you guys okay for five more minutes, or are you feeling like you just got hit with Niagara Falls? Are you with me? Are we okay? All right. I think I could have done two messages out of this. I am learning. Thank you for your grace. But building the church, because back in Ephesians it said to do his work and to build up the church. So we're talking about pouring out, just to remember the context you've got. Everyone say pour out. All right. So if you look here, we're going to wrap up here. Some of this pouring out has to do with the building of the church. So just say, I'm a builder. Now, thank God we actually have some physical builders here. And I hear that there might be some building projects even happening this week. Do the builders know that? Or has communication happened? No, okay. Well, if you're a builder in this church, you might want to talk to Pastor Caleb, because there might be a building project that you are very much needed on, or things might fall apart very rapidly. So we thank God for people who are practical and builders. We've been praying for you to come here for years, praying and fasting. But pouring out, right? These are different ways to build the church. And I wanted to just go over them here, just one by one. Again, if you don't have this, you can pick one up. I'll print more for next week. But before you think like, oh, they just want a bunch of like people volunteering and working for free. Who's ever been an intern? Anyone ever been an intern? It is the worst. So a lot of my education come from internships, which are, honestly, the internships I did were amazing, but it's also totally free labor. Like, let's just be real here. You get really weird hours sometimes, and you just like work. That is not what Jesus intended the church to be, but he did make each one of us to be a builder, and the church is actually missing out if we're not all participating. But I wanted to just clarify, every action in the pouring out part here is based in Acts 2. So everyone say Acts 2. In the early church. I love to reinvent the wheel. I believe God is doing new things all the time, right? He's a God that said, sing a new song to me, which is just a crazy concept that you could actually write a song that God's never heard. Wouldn't that be implied in that? Isn't that kind of amazing? I don't know, I kind of think about that. But I believe God does new things, but there's also a certain way that he set an order for the church in Acts. And I'm going to close by reading this in Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, say together, and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give, so say give, to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together, say meet together, in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, say in their homes, and ate together with a glad and sincere hearts. So we're going to eat together here. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So everything here is based on the foundation of giving, of breaking bread, of praying. But they didn't just meet in homes. They also met together in the temple court, so in a larger context. So there's a place for meeting together on Sunday, and then there's also a place for groups or inviting someone over to your house to be with them. Does that make sense? So why don't you stand on your feet here this morning? And I'm just going to finish here. I encourage you to check out the pouring out action points and see. This guide here is just simply meant to be a jumping off point. Maybe God's going to highlight something. Maybe he's not going to highlight anything. That's totally fine. We don't have membership here. We don't do that. But what we do is give resources to thrive in Jesus. So I encourage you, check out the book list here. There are a few of them in the back. Please don't take a copy. Those are from Pastor Tom's personal library, and I will be held accountable. But you can order them online. If you need to borrow a copy, you can talk to me. We can make that happen for you. But see about the book. See if there's an action God's calling you to do, and we'll keep going over this. But more importantly, I just want to release a prayer over anybody who has either felt like your button is pressed and you've been stuck pouring out. You've been stuck giving out what you don't feel like you have to give. Or maybe somebody here is starting to think like, you know, I've been poured into by God. I think it's time that I start pouring out. And I want to just say there is room for both here in this church. We need both pouring in and pouring out. That is a healthy body of Christ. That's a heart connected to the head. So Jesus, right now, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that is stirring in us a hunger for you. Charles Spurgeon said, every growth of spiritual life from the first tender shoot until now has been the work of the Holy Spirit. The only way to more life is the Holy Spirit. You will not even know that you want more unless he works in you to desire it. So God, I thank you right now for pouring out a hunger on this church for every person here, because we are the church. God, I thank you for showing us how our occupation is our ministry. God, if it's a parenting season, or it's being a stay-at-home parent season, if it's an occupation like a career, whatever it is, God, I thank you that we have a ministry to do your work. But God, I thank you that you're also showing some of us how we're called to be a builder of the church. God, to live out Acts 2 together in a way maybe we haven't seen it before. Or maybe for some of us, we're realizing that it's time to start pouring in intentionally and getting that hunger to receive from you this season, God, so we have something to pour out. And so, Father, I thank you right now that you are just removing anything that has been draining us, God, that we are not a church that is burned out. We are a church that is burning, that is pouring in and pouring out. Just say, pour in and pour out. Pour in and pour out. So God, I thank you that you are more than enough to pour in so that you can be more than enough to pour out of our lives. And God, we lay our weapons of destruction down. God, if we have been trying to rebuild and restore and revive, but holding on to weapons of destruction, weapons of each other's pasts, weapons of bitterness, weapons of unforgiveness, weapons of negative cycles or addictions, weapons of negative thoughts or lies. God, I thank you that through the power of your cross, you break every stronghold. You break the power of the destructive weapons that we have been holding on to and fighting each other rather than fighting for each other. God, I thank you that we are a church that fights for each other, not fights each other. And so, God, I thank you that you are releasing your supernatural kingdom weapons into our hands. God, that what grows out of our lives, we would be able to break the strongholds of the enemy with. God, that the tools that you give us to build up the permanently ruined areas of our area, God, the schools, the workplaces, our homes, whatever area it is for each of us, God, that the tools you give us through the pouring in actions and the books, and most importantly, the Bible more than anything else, God, I thank you that you are giving us the tools we need to rebuild, restore, and revive in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I encourage you, if you don't have one of these, pick one up. If you do, take a second peek at it. If there are no more, then there will be next week, all right? So God bless you guys. We've got a whole snack table in the back. There will be prayer in the front as well. If you've got to go, at least grab a snack, because Natalie did like this really cool thing. And just real quick on this very deep spiritual moment, if you wore plaid flannel, I know this is a very biblical thing to be saying right now, but if you wore a plaid flannel, we do have a special prize, and you can come up and you can get it, all right? We like to have fun in this church as well, right? I think God even has a sense of humor if he made us. I sure know he did if he made me. So, all right, God bless you guys. Go be a witness, not just in action, but in your identity. Be a witness this week, wherever you go. All right, God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.